right. How is everybody doing tonight? Cody is remembering her days as a waiter.
10 years, and I'll look at that.
You got to get a microphone. No one can hear you. Thank you.
Sorry,
so much
I
for
came in
out.
Carrying a giant tray of beer, and I didn't spill it, and I deserve applause for that. So thank you very much.
Welcome to Two Beers and a Tipsy Political Roundtable. I am Charlie Todd.
And I am Cody Lindquist.
And we are so excited to be here. Thank you guys so much for coming out. We are a married couple.
That's
we
true.
Love beer. We love talking about politics with our
yes.
friends while we're drinking beer. So we made it a show.
Woo!
And
yes.
This is our first show since our...
February 2020. Nothing has happened since then. Nothing to talk about, nothing to see.
The show is also a podcast, so you can go back and listen to our February 10th, 2020 show where we're just laughing about coronavirus on those cruise ships.
And spreading our germs. Like, what is going to happen
don't
to
get on a cruise ship.
Yeah, don't. Hot tip, get a time machine and cancel that cruise because you will get coronavirus and it won't be good for you.
We have a fantastic panel tonight, and we've been drinking a little bit backstage, and we're going to drink some more and talk on stage. So let's bring them out. What do you say?
Let's do it! All right. She is the president and founding member of the Hell's Kitchen Democrats, Alita LaFargue.
He, you know him from TV shows like Lethal Weapon on Fox and the new Gossip Girl on HBO Max. Please welcome Jonathan Fernandez.
She was the DC bureau chief for Vice News, where she won an Emmy. Hello. And now she's the executive producer of CBS This Morning, Shauna Thomas.
And you know him from Happy Endings and The Mindy Project and The Mandalorian even. Please welcome Adam Pally.
Woo, woo, woo.
Yes, I would just like to say this is a show where we like to drink, so feel free to get up and get drinks as you want. It will not disturb anyone. And that also includes you guys. Grab drinks. We have drinks here for everyone. I'm getting like... movie theater vibes because it smells like popcorn and it's making me very excited about popcorn.
I've only been in a movie theater once in the last year and a half.
Yes.
What did you see?
I saw In the Heights.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And
I
loved
too.
It and cried.
Wow.
Like, profusely I cried.
You went to the premiere, if I recall correctly.
I mean, you didn't have to put it that way, but that's fine. Yes.
Wow, yeah, we're doing a color.
I was going to say, we must have seen different In the Heights.
I saw the premiere on my television in my apartment with my husband by myself.
All right, we want to start tonight by talking about the novel coronavirus with a general... COVID check-in with our panel here. Has anybody in the panel had COVID, first of all? Anybody?
Oh, no. Alita just coughed.
Right. Oh, you had it?
I had it.
Were you fine?
I mean, while I had it?
Yeah.
No.
I would like to say
I had a mild case very, very early
I saw Shauna like maybe 3 weeks before she got COVID. Like, we were just at a party, just like chatting away in February. 2020.
Yep. Like, things were all okay.
So you got it in March 2020.
I got it in March 2020.
And Alita, you also had COVID. We're all sharing our COVID stories. This is so fascinating. But
this is
we
gonna
all want to know.
Let's
be honest.
Ever.
I don't want to scare anyone, but I got it a month after being fully vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine, and it was terrible.
Yeah, but you were okay. You didn't.
But
go
I'm
to
still
hospital.
Alive,
you
and okay, I didn't go to the
and
hospital.
You didn't pass it on to your family
I
members.
I did not pass it to my family.
So that's good. You got pre-Delta variant, correct?
I mean, Mabes.
I think maybe. You were pretty early on adopter of the COVID. So, Pally and Jonathan, you did not get COVID. Am
Good.
I correct?
I did not get COVID, but...
Yet.
I have also been microdosing horse laxatives. So, and that was pre-COVID. That was before... COVID even existed.
That was just your thing.
I like to be regular.
Okay, good.
And I got the gut of a horse. So
let's talk about ivermectin, because we wanted to talk about the horse deworming drug that is all the rage now. I guess mostly in conservative circles. I don't know. Maybe the all in the anti-vax circles. Let's
and with
way.
Horses.
And with horses.
Horses love.
Are loving
horses
it.
Horses are loving it.
So what do you guys think is driving people to take these insane fake cures? Is it just that trust in government is so low that they won't take a vaccine, but they'll take horse pace? Is it just Facebook's fault? Like,
the best is that it's not even the first weird one. Like six, 7 months ago, there's also like the other animal. There's all just whatever animal ailments there are, people are just taking those things that
and
help
there was
the
bleach.
Yeah. Even before the bleach, there was that other like dog one or something. Yeah. It was like some bacteria reducing something. We're like, we're going
to
take
that. I mean, I bet it would be. Now is a good time to troll. Like, it would not be hard to come up with a fake persona. Get into a few of those Reddits and put out, like, you know what cures COVID? Drinking water from the toilet. And, like, I bet if you really did it right and you really had a couple other people
the Russians know
set
how to do
up,
it.
You know what I mean? Who were like, no, you're supposed to do it after you go to the bathroom. Like, you know what I mean? Like, a couple other. I bet that you could, in, like, 2 months, there would be, like, a Fox News correspondent that's Wait. Like... Just drink your diarrhea.
Should we do that? I think there's enough of us up here that we could really have.
I mean,
some
I help. Have no, I have no way am I going to do that, but I will. I do. I will pose the idea comedically.
I mean, it would be an exclusive story for me about how this got started. So
yeah,
that
but it doesn't it feel
is
like
your choice.
Shauna would have to be like, guys, you can't do it. It was a fake thing. Yeah. I'm a journalist, and I do not stand by this.
I do not.
But there were people licking their toilet seats for a while. Do you not remember that?
With that during COVID?
For COVID?
Wait, during COVID, they were so like, we don't believe this is a hoax.
And oh, yeah. They were, yeah, like, there were like videos. There were parties of that. Like, yeah, white kids.
Mostly white.
Yeah, like white
hey guys,
kids. Sort of
I have
happened.
Two white kids at home, and I don't let them lick the toilet. I just want to say.
Just get ahead of
make sure they don't grow up to either.
There are certain things I'm only going to make a face about and not going to say anything about.
You want me to say it?
Yeah.
I'll say it for you.
You already did.
White kids were licking the toilet.
So what do you guys think is the best method to get people to get vaccinated? Because obviously it's been very frustrating. The people that are holding out and the anti-vax people, you know, recently, Delta Airlines is making the unvaccinated. Delta Airlines, not the Delta variant.
You have to say. You have to differentiate now.
Poor Delta. But they're making the unvaccinated employees pay like $200 extra a month for insurance, which is an interesting strategy. New York City obviously has the new vaccine mandate for indoor dining, fitness, and entertainment, including the entertainment that's happening right here. Everybody's vaccinated. Enforcement starting on September 13th. So, I mean, is it a carrot or a stick? For a while, we were paying people $100, maybe we still are. What do you think it's going
to
take?
What's the one pop star went to the White House and said
Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah, like what were the figures of the aftermath of that? Like, because they announced it and they were like, this thing's going to happen, but then what?
It's hard to tell because a lot of it was streaming.
It's an industry joke.
Ouch.
You know, so we did a story on CBS This Morning, soon to be CBS Mornings. Watch our show next week if you get up in the morning and watch network television. And we did a story with young people in Baltimore, and they actually said that the Olivia Rodrigo thing actually had an effect on their friends. Like, and these were people who were over the age of 12, and like clearly their parents said we could talk to them, blah, blah, blah. But
parental consent.
But they literally told our correspondent that had an actual effect on the conversations they were having, because it was this group of kids who basically was trying to encourage other kids their age to actually get vaccinated.
Our niece is 12, and she was like super excited when she found out that Olivia Rodrigo got the... She loves her. She really loves her. Mm-hmm. She was excited about
She's great.
The paradox that cracks me up is that, like, you know, for anybody who's on television during these times has to get... Like, we get tested, like, 3 or 4 times a week, and it's very unlikely that we would get it from somebody on the show. But so do all the, like, Fox News people. Like, they're also doing all those things.
They're all vaccinated.
Yeah.
And they're all tested.
Yeah. And, like, that just came out as, like, a news story where just, like, did you know that they're all vaccinated and that they're also just talking about how shitty the vaccines are for their, you know, peoples that night? And then that's like, why? How's that news? Like, it's just
yeah, but
amazing.
Trump came on and told a whole group of people they should get vaccinated recently, and they
and
booed,
booed
him.
Boo.
So they've made their decision. Really? It is what it is. We may just need but to put them into a bubble and let them kill each other.
Well, I like your...
Spoken like a true New Yorker.
Yeah.
Invite them to New York and, like, say we're giving you a ride on the subway.
The president of the Hell's Kitchen Democrats.
I mean, it is going to be post-apocalyptic when the world is divided into like vaccine and not vaccine country. You know, like when you're like going to a bachelor party in Las Vegas, and you're like, "Yeah, we got to drive because I don't want to get on a plane with all my stuff, but I do have my vaccination card and proof that I have been vaccinated within the last 9 months." It's like things are weird that you have to. You know, show proof of that to like enter a city is going to have to be the case, or else this is never gonna.
Charlie and I, full disclosure, got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Are we included in the fully vaccinated group? just wondering if anyone feels less.
Anybody else
excited.
Get J&J here?
Who's our J&J people?
We got some hands.
Yeah, so we got two J&Js. Wow.
Some over here.
Did you all get an illegal booster? Has anyone with the J&J got an illegal booster?
You did get COVID
after the J&J vaccine. This makes me feel good. I feel really good about that.
Wait,
I'm up here without a mask.
What do you mean an illegal? What do you mean an illegal booster?
There are people who are just showing up and like getting another shot because we actually don't have a really good way of tracking
Charlie and I were vaccinated in South Carolina in a very sketchy doctor's office. There's whiteout on our vaccine card for some reason. I don't know. Doesn't make sense. Anyway, it
are you
was.
Sure, you got the J&J?
I think we did. I thought maybe we got water. But Charlie did have a fever, so I think we
got something.
Vaccinated.
Have you had an antibody test?
I did. I have no antibodies, but I also got an antibody test from a van, so that also feels sketchy. You know?
I think the moral of this story is you need to look into your medical care.
Here's a question. Did I get vaccinated? I go to this van every week, and they test me, and then they gave me an antibody test. They said I didn't have antibodies. I don't know.
Is it the same van that Charlie gets his teeth whitened out?
I mean, they're good at some things.
Oh, that's a different van?
That's a different van.
Clearly.
What Cody's referring to with the illegal booster is that we have some friends who got Johnson & Johnson who went out and got a Pfizer.
No.
Yeah. And
it's called
and,
double dipping.
Yeah.
How'd that go? Do they get sick?
No. Well, they're doing fine. There have been some other countries that have done studies that say mixing and matching might actually be good.
And Angela Merkel got an AstraZeneca and a Pfizer or something like that. She crossed...
Angela did it.
If Angela did it, it's good enough for Angela.
Well,
anyways, anyone here a doctor? Should I get the illegal vaccine?
Do I need to call someone?
I think you should. No, my father is a physician, and he got a third shot as soon as it was offered. He's also older, obviously, so it was like it was an option for him, and he got a third shot. And he has been telling all of his patients that if you are eligible 9 months after to get a booster, you should get it.
Right.
So, yes, you should get a booster.
Well, but I was thinking, I love getting medical advice from a panel at a comedy show. It makes me feel really good about our healthcare.
The American way.
I know. I'm like, someone tell me. My panelist dad said maybe. But I was thinking, like, maybe wait a month until I'm 6 months out. But this woman got COVID who got the Johnson & Johnson. So, anyway.
What's the use of waiting?
Because they said that maybe you should wait. They should be spaced out 6 months.
Well, there's also the ethical thing about how many.
Yeah, I only had one shot, Jonathan Fernandez.
They're not
y'all
offering.
Two. Y'all can suck it.
It's
all right. I get there's an ethical situation, but I had one fucking shot. Y'all
the
got
J&J
you two.
People get to skip the line ahead of all the other countries in the world, right? You guys already got two. We only have one.
Every
you already skipped all the other countries.
Exactly. I agree. Ethical, blah blah blah. But I'm Johnson & Johnson, and I get a. Separate thing.
No, it is true. We're not going to solve this problem until we get the whole world vaccinated because we're going to have all the different variants are going to come from other parts of the world and they're going to come here because we have airplanes.
So you're going to have to like be like, you can't come in unless you're vaccinated, which creates pockets in the world and probably in this country eventually where there will be no vaccinations. Like, it's totally plausible that you will have full states that have no mandates that just like everybody's dead.
Okay, I don't actually agree that that's totally plausible.
Why? Like, if it happened, like let's say, like some city in Alabama, like you're like 50 years from now, you're like driving through and you're like, wow, did anyone live here? And you look, it's like, they didn't do mad vaccines. You know, it's like everyone's just dead.
But I think part of this is, and this has to do with like the American system, is that businesses are going to make that very, very difficult. That you're going to have so many businesses that are going to mandate the fact that you have to get vaccinated to work for them, that is going to be the counterbalance to what you are talking about.
And then what happens when there's like the MyPillow guy?
Well, I don't know what's going to happen to that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like maybe I'm thinking negatively, but like I do see a world where it's like, yeah, you're right, the industry will change, but there is this other pocket of industry. I mean, just listen to like satellite radio. You know, every commercial is for like, you know, buzzsaw testosterone, and like, you know what I mean? Like, those people don't care if their people are vaccinated. And so what happens when they're like, we're all moving our businesses to this place where we can all be unvaccinated, and then like you're like, okay, cool, I gotta drive through there to get to Los Angeles. You're like, wow, everybody's dead.
Although they've done such a good job of telling you that, like, yeah, your grandma died, your mom died, your sister-in-law died, your brother died, but like, that's how it is. Like,
right.
Like they've convinced people that it's okay that so many people are dying.
Right.
Over 600,000 people have died.
I think there's also like a different way that we should maybe be going about it, because I think the whole idea of telling people they're stupid doesn't always work out, which is why I think we got Trump. People were like, oh, you think I'm stupid? Well, fuck you.
I'm going to do the most stupid thing ever.
Right. But I, you know, so since I ran for city council last year, I had to join all of these insane, like, parent groups on Facebook.
Hey, that I'm a parent in your neighborhood, Alita.
Are you in one of those insane groups, Cody?
No, there's a lot.
Yes,
I am.
Thank you very much.
There's a lot of them. And so recently, for whatever reason, they're popping up on my feed. I thought I'd gotten rid of them all, but I haven't. And there are a lot of parents who sound like intelligent human beings. They're not all just, like, drinking from the toilet.
I know.
Who are terrified, and they feel like this is a whole dystopian, like, 1984, and, like, they're checking us and the Nazis, and they're really serious about it. They are terrified. I, like, said one little peep on the thing, and it was like, bro, like, next, what will happen? But it's a slippery slope. So maybe there's a different way to approach
but
people
what is
besides
it?
Just being, I'm not sure.
I don't
like,
know.
We need a focus group.
I agree with you. I agree. It's not good to be like, you're a fucking idiot. You're taking horse tranquilizers. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But, you know, I'm from the Midwest. Charlie's from the South. Like, we know real America. And honestly, I don't know.
What does that mean? White people without an education?
I know.
What?
What does that mean? White people without an education? Is that real America?
No, a lot of
people. Because I'm from all over. I know a bunch of dumb white people.
No. According to the news, I'm from real America.
I know. No, look, I grew up in Skokie, Illinois.
Yes, there's a list.
Exactly, you're from real Ohio too. Congratulations,
it's Illinois.
But we gotta like stop pretending real New America, Yorkers are like these. Listen, I went on a date with a guy.
Woo!
Thank you very much.
Brag.
And he's an EMT. Mm-hmm. And this motherfucker's not a vaccinated.
Yeah.
And he gave me a stack of vaccine cards to give to my friends.
Really?
I'm telling you all the business.
That's a good
this,
story.
This is happening.
Do you know that
in New York City
the other
with
night,
New Yorkers? He ain't from Illinois. He's not from Mississippi. He is from born and raised New York.
The other night I was out after a comedy show and I went to a restaurant that was outside and they had a vaccination policy and there's a big doorman. Big doorman, right? And the term for him would be bridge and tunnel. Would way that I would
B-N-T,
describe
B-N-T.
The doorman.
The
other real America. So this guy's standing out there, and my friend comes up, and he's like, let me see your vaccination card. You know, and my friend gives him the card, and he's like, yeah, you're supposed to have two shots. And the guy's like, well, I got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Thank you, Johnson & Johnson.
And I have one shot. He's like, I ain't never heard of that. All I know is that my boss said, you got to have two shots.
No.
So my friend is like, well, that's insane.
There's only three vaccines.
Like,
it's not hard to memorize.
In the news, he's like, look, I'm just doing what I'm told to do. I don't know what I'm doing. I didn't take no vaccine. And we were like, what? What? What?
Did you get his number?
I'm
and
standing
can I have
face
it?
To face with you.
Alita probably is going to go on a date with him.
Where was that club?
Yeah. It's right here. You know, it's
13 public-facing employees are being charged today with purchasing fake vaccine cards on the internet. And these are people who work in hospitals, medical schools, nursing homes. They were apparently turned in by Alita. I don't know.
The best is that, like, in terms of how hard it is to forge an identification card.
Yes.
It's like a license is infinitely harder than the construction paper you need for the vaccination card.
Thank you.
Put a hologram on it or something.
There's a stamp. There's like a big J.
It's free.
Yeah, also it's free, yeah.
It's just free.
It's free. There's a van on every corner in New York that's like, you want the vaccine?
No, also by the way.
I don't think that's true, Cody. I think that's your experience.
They're like, you got the Johnson & Johnson, right?
Just hopping
into
vans.
Come get the vaccine.
Well, I got mine at the Javits Center. It was like the famous Javits Center, right? I walked in, it was all these like big, good-looking, obviously I'm single, military guys, right? And so the guy was walking me to the next one. I was like, so, did you get it? And he's like, no.
What?
Like, I really felt like my whole body just, like, got cold. And I'm like, I'm out of here. And I'm like, no. He's the dumb military guy. But, I mean, if that's the sentiment, going to get the vaccine, that the guy bringing me,
speaking
who
of
won't
dumb,
do it.
Speaking of dumb militaristic guys.
we support the military on this show.
The police unions are pushing back against vaccine mandates.
Or masks.
And cops are not wearing masks, or a lot of cops are not wearing masks. Jonathan Chait tweeted a couple of days ago that cops threatening to quit over vaccine mandates is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to reform police departments.
Hashtag Need Fire!
I love that tweet so much. It's like, we could fix our policing problem in America. Just get rid of the cops that won't get vaccinated.
Okay,
it's
but that like won't a, fix our training problem. That won't fix our race problem. That won't fix a lot of other
but
things.
Sean,
but won't it kind of, isn't it like a pretty close Venn diagram of the so-called bad apples? I know they're mostly bad. I mean, but like.
Yeah, we have some systemic reform.
Again.
Sure,
we're judging.
For sure.
Yeah.
No, there's plenty of people of color
it's
who are also
step,
not trying to get the vaccine.
It's a good first step.
That's true. That's true.
It's not a white people problem, folks.
It'd be a good first cull.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's like bare minimum, let's get rid of the ones that don't want to get vaccinated, and then we'll deal with the problematic police officers who do get vaccinated.
It's fascinating that the people that work for the government distrust the government.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You guys are the government.
But the situation that Cody was talking about with the 13 people that got charged today, I mean, there's this woman in New Jersey. She goes by Anti-Vax Mama on Instagram.
And she's probably in Alita's mom's group.
She was making tens of thousands of dollars a day, did I read? Maybe I'm exaggerating that. But she had some connection with a guy in Long Island that worked at a hospital who was providing her.
Probably the same guy that Alita went on a date with.
And this guy was providing her with cards, and she was selling them on Instagram. And they both got busted.
Okay, she's getting charged, and that's one thing. But also, people are buying them. She's making
well, that's what I mean.
You know what? I actually kind of want to buy one because mine doesn't look real.
Because you're not vaccinated.
It has whiteout on it.
I got you, girl.
Cody, I hate to jump here, but where were you on January 6th?
I was on a vacation.
That is making me
I was on
hope.
A girl's
I just,
retreat.
I hate to do it, but there's
it
been a
girl's
couple, Charlie.
It was a girl's retreat for America.
I didn't see her for like 10 days.
You didn't see her?
Charlie, by the way, we have to get a sitter because I have an upcoming engagement at the court system.
I mean, last time Daniela saw you, she said you were talking her ear off about a message board?
Yep. She needs to join my group. She needs to respond to my WhatsApps.
But what I was going to ask you is like, isn't this like what we're all talking about? Because it's not a white problem. Because it is a mistrust, dumb, not even dumb. Digging heels. It's stubborn, right? It's like when you talk to an anti-vaxxer, even before, like, because anti-vaxxing has been going on for a while. And
sure.
So, like, when you would talk to them even before, as a parent, you know, I had kids when I lived in California. We'd come across this where you'd have to be like, what do you mean your kid is not vaccinated for measles? You know,
it's,
like.
It's not right. Just, like, it's not just dumb white people.
No.
It's
the one main person is Robert F.K. whatever. The
yeah.
One
is that the group?
In the wellness community,
the
there's
children.
A whole
the wellness
thing going
is a terrible.
It is a cross-section of America, for sure.
And it's a cross-section of true idiots. But what you were saying was no, that's not did I get the
no, that's what
is that
you
not what we
saying.
Were saying
that's
we were not,
not
saying that
saying.
I'm sorry
no but there, I mean there's also people in the black community
vaccines
there
are
people
not 100% always effective.
Sure.
And if they
never
say that, they've never been that.
Effective,
but and they have, in history, caused harm.
Sure.
So all they have to do is cause harm a few times.
Understandable.
And make a kid, you know, die or whatever.
Understandable. But think of how
you're
many kids...
You're going to get all the friends of that mom.
Right.
Are
but a lot of those,
vaccines
right. But a lot of those facts are hearsay. The truth is a lot of those stories are hearsay and have been blown up because the facts
sure.
the facts don't say that there is a mom. But the facts say that there's very little moms that have had... Or
injury,
not generally,
from
injury from vaccines.
But
so
also,
you're
how many
stuff.
Kids, like myocarditis, for instance, is something they talk about, enlarging of the heart, that some kids have had from getting the vaccine. And that is a real thing.
Yes.
But how many kids have gotten it from COVID? Like, four
wait,
times,
but
that's
you
also
might
a thing
and
that
all
you
of
might
those,
get.
And all of those side effects yeah. are worse with COVID based on,
that's
you know,
what's
based
so
on
shocking
what
to
say.
Me, is that COVID itself is so scary because it's new and we don't know what the long-term
right.
effects are. It's a virus that stays in your system. So for me, I'm like, well, yeah, vaccine, sure, but, like, COVID is also scary as shit. Like, who knows?
Well,
but they also don't believe COVID's real
right.
and it was manufactured. Like,
exactly.
You could just
it's like,
keep
it's
going
a whole,
down.
The thread right. is so deep, right. which is why I'm saying that I think, again, like, the future to me is a country and
where
a
we
world.
Drive through towns where everyone is dead?
Hopefully. That's a good future. The bad future is like, oh, no, no. You don't want to go up to the Pacific Northwest. They don't vax up
but
there.
But it's beautifully
there. No, what we do, we should have a concert, like a Jimmy Buffett concert or something. I don't know. I'm thinking of something.
Is
super
Jimmy Buffett
although he was vaccinated.
Is Jimmy Buffett vaccinated?
He is vaccinated.
Good. Is Dave Matthews vaxxed?
I don't know. Something
is Dave Matthews
vaxxed?
I'm sure he's vaxxed.
Is Brandi Carlile vaxxed?
Yes. Brandi Carlile.
Is Brandi Carlile vaxxed?
Yes.
Is John Mayer vaxxed?
Yes, I saw Dead & Co, and I had to have a vaccine to be there. So
okay,
yes.
good. Is Incubus vaxxed?
They all died.
Is Maroon 5 vaxxed?
I haven't done an interview with any of those people recently.
Sure, probably.
All right.
So we find some unvaccinated type performer, and we have a big concert, and we invite everybody. You don't need a vaccine to come, right?
And then they all
kill them
die.
All.
Right, we're saying the same thing. I think I'm just saying it harsher.
Drop a bomb.
I think that vaccine requirements are going to help, though. Governor's Ball is coming up in New York City, and that's a music festival, especially this year with their lineup skews really young, and they just announced that they have a vaccine requirement. I think the more like events like that 18-year-olds want to go to, it's like, oh, I can't go to Gov Ball unless I get vaccinated.
Yeah, but 18-year-olds don't care. They're taking Special K, man. They don't care.
Right, but
no,
they're
but
I'm
do
saying
think
they're
going
to get vaccinated.
Not
to
like being able to
no,
do
I'm saying they're getting the vaccine because they're
no,
like, whatever.
There are young people who are not getting
taking
the
all
vaccine,
kinds of shit.
But
might as well get a vaccine.
There has been a thing where it's like, okay, once you realize there are things that you cannot do, not to mention another story on CBS News. we were at a college like in Louisiana, and after the FDA approved the Pfizer vaccine, like we talked to college kids who were like, okay, now that they've approved it, I'm doing it. Also, my college says I can't come back if I don't get a shot. So it's that. It's private industry, it's schools, it's events like the Governor's Ball,
it's
things Donda. Like that.
Mask
and also
mask
that.
Mandates. You know,
what's wild
work,
too is
baby.
Like what's wild also with like especially with what Pally was saying is that like in 20 years or 30 years our man in the high castle will be like, what if no one got vaccinated?
Yeah.
And like that's our revisionist like
no, it
tale.
Is. I mean, when you
write
think
that young adult novel, Jonathan. Write that young adult novel.
No,
make
you're right.
$1 million.
You're 100% right. Like, there will be some, like, you know, Quentin Tarantino light who does some version of this to like be like, what if this didn't happen? And it's an odd place to be in history because usually it is religious or race or you know what I mean. It's so clear
right.
cut. You know,
this is
not clear cut because again, I know we don't want to use this word, but it's like. There is a part of this when someone doesn't trust something or they're not open to something, it's a lack of intellect, right? Like, you're not... That is true.
Well, but there's also historical reasons why people don't trust government.
Yes,
right.
but those historical reasons... I just want to play devil's advocate on those historical reasons because we're a long way from those historical reasons
but
at this
we're
point.
Not
really. Not really. Not really.
I get
why?
Not really.
Because we're not
okay,
a long
friend,
way from
I
this
don't want
I mean,
here, but
in,
a friend
in,
of my
in a
mother's...
In a state of emergency...
And I'm not... I am vaccinated. I think people should get vaccinated. Do not. Like,
but in a state of emergency, right? Like,
that's
like,
the perfect time for people to mistrust. Is in a state of emergency.
Yeah, because I mean, you have to really think about. You have to think about why would certain populations trust the government? They
but
don't
it's not,
do
but
shit
to me,
for you
to me,
if you're poor,
I'm
if you're a
arguing,
minority.
Except
there
for
are
you,
reasons.
If you had won your city council race, you would have done shit.
I would have fixed everything for everyone. So
I'm not arguing. I'm not arguing. I'm not arguing that. I'm not arguing that the fear is not worthwhile. What I'm arguing is that you can make a fear, everybody's fear can be worthwhile to them. And so you have to look at it as a real moment in history where people are taking a stand against the common good. And this has happened before. This is like, to me, it's similar to civil rights in that way, where it's like there is an obvious common good. And the people are looking away from it for their own fear, personal interest, whatever. But those excuses, those reasons, as we go further and further into this fresh hell every day, they become less and less pertinent because they become personal. And it's like we are a society that exists now based on us all doing this.
But the personal part is the interesting part. Like I actually think the corollary to civil rights is interesting, but part of bringing people along with that is, and this isn't the best necessarily way to do it, it is the idea of knowing somebody. It is the idea of having the conversation.
Agreed.
And it is unfortunate that what the moment that we are in right now also involves people dying
right.
for us to get to the point that we need to get to. But it goes back to Charlie's original question, which is how do you convince people? And it's not this podcast necessarily, though, you know,
what?
I know people
we
listen
have
to it.
A large reach, Shauna, a large reach.
But is it any?
It's the personal conversations.
Right.
It's the getting to know people. And unfortunately, with this particular virus, it's the knowing someone who dies problem or knowing someone who gets really, really sick.
Every night in the news, there's the story of the person who's about to die who says they wish they got the vaccine.
Yeah.
And those people have cousins and relatives. I mean,
but you also mentioned civil rights. So we're in the middle of a mayor race right now. I'm not sure if you guys know, but in November, we are voting for mayor. And right now, it's basically between Eric Adams and Curtis Sliwa. So Curtis Sliwa was out there at one of these protests, and he was saying, I am vaccinated, I am pro-vaccine, but I am also for choice, and these mandates violate my civil rights.
But that...
Like, what do we say to that?
Well, that is language, though.
It is playing semantics. So
because you can also be like... we've heard that on the same side with abortion, right? Where it's like...
Right, but my,
you know, my right to choose...
They're all coming out with
it's like you can't. Women can't choose. Women can't choose, right. But I can
but
choose
also,
to not wear a mask.
My choice to have an abortion doesn't give you a deadly
people.
Virus that you...
100%.
If you don't have the abortion...
yes, exactly.
My son is...
I agree.
That argument is so frustrating. That they've co-opted that thing of choice.
Of course. Like, that's what I mean. I think that the frustrating thing is that you are in a semantic argument with a lot of these people because, unfortunately, it's almost like when a baby has dug their heels in so hard that they forget why they didn't want to do the thing they didn't want to do. Mm-hmm. And so now it is just about the thing.
Okay, but again, I caution against this language, like you're a baby, you're stupid, you're ignorant, because that is what's turning people away. So I don't know what kind of advertising we need to do.
We're giving them $100 and letting them go to concerts and restaurants.
The $100 I think was genius.
I don't think it's advertising, and I don't think it's government officials.
No, it's not government officials.
I would love it to be the pieces that we
also,
do.
Also, I think advertising is
sure
everything.
I literally think it is interpersonal connections and having that conversation and not judging the other
person.
But
I think what's wild about that is like there's this bananas paradox where people, like, we all want to live in a society where we don't need to have to know this person in order to care about them, like
yeah.
this, like, stranger or whatever. And so, but there's this, like, paradoxical thing that happens that people will create excuses even when that thing is in front of their face, that person. Like, now that, so, like, mm-hmm. you know, all the, you will not care about civil rights. Say you're someone who is racist. And
Cody?
Go on.
Say you're,
no, don't. Podcast item, you just can't say my name.
I don't know
the
your
word
name's
racist.
Like,
and
sorry,
I'm like,
your name is
sorry.
Yeah.
So sorry.
Yeah, your
Charlie.
Oh my god.
But it's that thing where it's like, you know, we grew up with all those commercials of just like, hey, sponsor this African child, and for people, it's easy because they don't need to fucking interact with that child. So it's like, and 25 cents, fucking easy, no
right.
problem. But then it's like, cool, but will you like go? Like do a play day with them, like
or
for
like
a few
put
hours.
Your kids in school with a
yeah,
person of color,
and then all of a sudden it's like,
ooh,
and
will
they
you
would have,
Cody? Yes.
Our children go to the same school, so I'm going to vouch for Cody.
Yes, they do go to school. But
it's a wild thing that's like, you know, some people, even when they do know someone who had died of COVID, it's not enough, and or they know a person of color, it's not enough. And so, like, that feels to me like the most, like, fundamentally, like, fucked up thing with our society, where it's just like, it's not even enough to be having this conversation and like caring about this person. You know, you still are creating all these excuses for why you want
to
do what you want
to
do.
Yeah, they've really convinced you to not, even though you're watching someone die, to just think, well, it's okay that they're dead.
And
it's a normal thing that they were going to die anyway.
Well, because also that logic never, I mean, this has now been talked about ad nauseum, but like everything you do from the moment you wake up is so you don't fucking die. Like, you eat, and you go to sleep, and you, like, get money so you can pay for all these things to, like, survive, and that's why you live in a house, or not, or, like, whatever. You're trying to, like, literally not die.
Yeah.
So then, and seatbelts and all this shit. And so it's, like, wild to all of a sudden be like, this is the one thing where it's like, whatever, anytime it happens.
It's okay.
It's going to happen anyway.
We want to move on from COVID, because this isn't a COVID show. It's literally been, like, 40 minutes
of
COVID.
Well, Alita brought up Eric Adams, and I did want to talk about some New York politics stuff, because we have a New York panel and a New York audience. So, Alita, you're the president of the Hell's Kitchen Democratic Club, which is awesome.
By the way, I just want to give a shout-out to Hell's Kitchen Democratic Club. There were a lot of Democratic clubs, you know, in the city, around the city, and after Trump got elected, there was a huge wave of sort of this grassroots takeover of these Democratic clubs. It's a really cool story of New Yorkers not feeling like, oh, actually, we should be paying attention to what's going on in our own neighborhoods. And I think shout out to a lot of the Democratic clubs, but especially Hell's Kitchen Democrats.
And Alita's
Democrats.
Been on the show before, and we talked about that, and you could go listen to
it. Who's going to go back and listen to a three-year-old podcast? But
FBI
might have to.
I'm sure they do. They have my Johnson & Johnson vaccine record, and also
they probably have already.
Hell's Kitchen
they know
Democrats.
What's up.
But anyway, it's a really cool thing that we've sort of taken control and gotten involved in politics locally.
So, Alita, I wanted to ask, because the Hell's Kitchen Democratic Club did not endorse Eric Adams for mayor, but now, obviously, I'm sure in the general election, we'll be endorsing Eric Adams, and we all need to go vote for Eric Adams over the guy that owns 19 cats and things like that.
I mean, I'm going to be unpopular.
Oh, are you really?
Oh, here we go.
So I am curious.
Can I just say, whenever I get a text message from a friend that's like, I'm going to be unpopular, I'm like, .. Yes, tell me more. I need to know all of it.
Yeah, but I never trust the friend that does that, because I'm like, you want me to say something.
Cats over dogs. Yeah. Anyway.
.. Tell me. I won't tell anybody.
I'm going to be unpopular. Gap over Old Navy.
So Eric Adams was not in my top five for ranked choice voting, but I'm going to be excited to vote for him.
He's a cop forever.
He's a cop.
I'm not a fan. I learned a lot in my run for city council, more than, you know, they say, like, once you've learned it, you can't unlearn it. And there's a lot of shade that goes on in all politics, of course, but, like, you know, in our... what we perceive to be super liberal town, don't get it twisted. Yeah. Money rules, real estate rules. And Eric Adams, he's not my fave. So, like, I'm actually doing more looking at the alternative guy. Is he a goofball? Maybe. I grew up in Hell's Kitchen, so I don't know how many of you know what Hell's Kitchen was like in the 80s and 90s. I'm not aging myself, but it wasn't nice. And the Guardian Angels, which was started by Curtis Sliwa, actually got me and my friends like out of trouble various times.
Meaning you were on a subway car and Curtis tackled somebody?
No, well, like, in the street. They were in the street. Yeah. Walked us home. Or, like, I had a boyfriend, actually, who was a guardian angel, who otherwise would have probably been in a gang or dealing drugs. He did a lot of good. And he's always been sort of like, I can't believe I'm doing this. But he kind of was, like, really, like, a man of the people. You know what I mean? He was out there for nothing for his own personal gain. He's definitely got that populist Trumpy vibe in just the way he comes across, but which is gross. But he ain't about the money. He's never been about the money. He's not going to take money from, like, real estate developers and upzone our entire city so we don't recognize it completely. He's got, you know, I don't know how much y'all know about NYCHA and what they're trying to do to privatize it. He's against that. I mean, there are a lot of things that are way more progressive on his platform than our friend Eric Adams, who was previously a Republican, but anyway.
And you guys supported...
Is this going to be on live? Are people going to... Is this being recorded?
I love it. You know,
it's live in front of this
city
audience.
Council. I is didn't it crazy? Win and fuck it all. These moms
I'm on
are crazy
super fuck
and I'm
mode.
Voting
I
maybe
always,
for Curtis.
I grew up in Stuyvesant Town, and I always looked at the Hells Angels as like...
Sorry. Goofballs, right?
I just watched Altamont.
Okay.
Just watched a documentary on Rolling Stones.
Give me shelter.
Yeah. No, but I always looked at the Guardian Angels when I was a kid as actually like... They made me feel safer almost than the NYPD.
Hello.
You know, like the NYPD, when they would come around, all my friends and I would be like, ugh, it's going to get fucking shitty. You know what I mean? And then the Guardians Angels was just a different vibe. It was like, yeah, it was never like clean the way it went down. It was always like a little like scattering, I remember. But I never felt scared like I did when the NYPD would come.
It would be worse.
What?
It would be like, oh, they're great. They're going to exacerbate the entire situation.
Yeah, you just had this feeling like, you know, and I wasn't getting up into like, I mean, I don't think anyone like bad trouble, but
you're
like
from
I was
Illinois,
like,
you know, that kind of trouble.
I was annoyed. I was like setting fireworks off like on the PSE&G, but it doesn't matter. That actually could have been bad, but the you know that in the loop that yeah that could have been bad, but the when all that stuff would happen, when you get in trouble, it'd be like the police felt scarier in a way. So I understand what you're saying. If I didn't think of it like that, but I am open to.
You guys endorse Maya Wiley, correct? Oh no,
Scott Stringer.
That was complicated.
You endorsed Scott Stringer before Scott Stringer
got me too'd. Speaking of me too, how about that first female governor?
Nice transition. Yes.
Bringing it back to good old Kathy. We have a female governor now. Very exciting. It is interesting that the way we got our first female governor was through somebody resigning, and very, very lately. He was literally like Cuomo had his nails in the fucking thing and was like digging his way.
Just the other day, he was like, "The truth will come out."
Oh yeah.
Like sometime I'll be vindicated or whatever. And it's like dog.
But he's doing what's best for New York.
Yeah. He wants to have
how
it both
is
ways.
The truth gonna come out? There's like somebody. Some
there will be more
brother.
Truth coming out.
His brother's doing a real investigative piece.
It's such the old gross white dude to be like, you can't tell a girl she looks good anymore and grab her fucking butt without her throwing a fit. These women are crazy. The periods.
It's so
frustrating. I'm not a perv, I'm Italian.
Oh yeah.
I'm an old Italian man. When I in my day we used to grab their vaginas and they loved it.
The only time I've ever
grabbed a vagina?
The only time I ever grabbed a vagina.
You're a married man. I'm sure it's happened, but consensually.
No, the only time I ever made one of those, like, you know, that meme of, like, Spider-Man pointing at himself was very recently, and it was a pervert pointing at an Italian.
Listen, I'm half Italian. I have an Italian grandfather who was born in, like, 1901, and he did never grabbed a vagina unsolicited.
Well, ultimately, with all
sure
that...
Sure of that.
With all that...
Was he taking a little bit off the top of the pharmacy?
I asked Charlie this the other day because
we
were watching...
Is that offensive or not?
Come around a pharmacy, you know, you got to pay a vig. Come around a pharmacy.
I'm going to turn this
Charlie
way.
Charlie and I were watching the Lollapalooza documentary.
I think you mean Woodstock.
Lollapalooza was a very respectable...
Also totally different.
Oh, God. You know, sometimes we have two beers in and we say the wrong thing, and that's this piece. Anyway, it was Woodstock 94.
I like that every time you guys give us a glimpse into your life, it's like the whitest detail. You know, Charlie and I were watching a documentary on Woodstock 99.
Oh, come on. Who's seen the Woodstock 99 documentary? Applause? Anyone? Clap?
Okay, listen, guys.
We got a diverse crowd.
For our podcast audience.
It's a fantastic documentary.
I say this HBO periodically. Matters. For our podcast audience, Charlie and Cody are white. I know that seems crazy. We are white humans. We are interested in white things, biking, Grateful Dead, and documentaries. That's our thing.
That's pretty much the trifecta.
But also for the podcast audience, half and half right now.
Yeah, we are. We are.
We are. Oh,
yes. Yes. That's right. Yes. Give us a little snip snap for the brown people.
Actually, and I don't identify as white, actually.
Okay.
Jewish.
Okay.
So we're winning.
Yeah, cool. But anyway,
half
we were
minority,
watching the,
half white, we except watching, you're Jewish, and so I don't.
Okay. Exactly.
Go on, Cody.
Yeah. We were watching the Woodstock 99 documentary, and it was about people, like a lot of women, it was very sad, but a lot of women got sexually assaulted.
Yeah.
And also in the first one. Yes, of course.
Also that time I went to the Warped Tour.
Exactly.
Really?
But there was this thing, I mean, God bless all of us who grew up, and we all seem to have grown up in the 90s where, listen.
People just grabbed you.
We did. And I said to Charlie, like, have you ever seen a woman's naked boobs at a concert and thought, yep, I can grab them? No.
No, but Charlie's a nice man.
I guess, but the idea that we let men off the hook for this and we just like, oh, boys will be boys. If you walk around with your boobs out, a guy's going to be like, yes, they're mine. Like, that's insane. I don't see a cock at a concert and be like, yeah.
Never.
Let me grab you.
When was the last cock you saw at a concert?
Yeah.
Oh, I've been to a lot of crazy Grateful Dead concerts.
Really? Those are not the cocks you want to see.
She has not.
Those cocks have, like, catheters.
Hey. But I will say, there is, and this, like, you know, Cuomo is Cuomo. But I will say this about the Me Too movement and the realization that I had personally because of the Me Too movement. Like, put the random groping at the, like, Warped Tour that I didn't want aside. You know, I really thought sort of in a work context that I had not really been sexually harassed, but also like I work in a business where, you know, you do a lot of work and there's like off-color talk sometimes and blah, 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 blah. And then as I read more Me Too stories, and thank you, Jodi Kantor and New York Times and everybody else who did that, I had a realization that I was like, oh, that time that guy commented on my legs at that debate, because maybe like because I had a short dress on, which I was already self-conscious about because I brought the wrong things to Vegas or whatever, and this is in a work context, you know, that was sexual harassment. He made me uncomfortable for the rest of the night by commenting on that in front of other people. And part of my own retraining of my brain was like, that isn't just, oh, I work in TV news and that's okay, and I have to laugh it off because I need to be one of the boys. That's actually fucking problematic.
Yeah.
And I think there is something about the time that we live in right now that, especially around our age, Cody, that there is a shifting in...
22. We're 22.
Yeah, exactly. 22.
Now we're 22.
I was at that Las Vegas debate when I was 12. But there has been a shifting in my thought as I sort of, like, think about these things that stick in my head. Like, I shouldn't even remember that particular moment, and it is always stuck in my head. And that's because totally. It was actually harassing.
I would like to say a shout-out, because I think, like, young people get a lot of bullshit for, you know, oh, they're so sensitive, they're so whatever. And I want to say, as someone who's 41, I am... Thank you. I'm 41. You're welcome. I want to say that I actually really appreciate the younger generation for telling me that the shit that is in my brain like that, Shauna, wasn't okay.
Right.
And it's okay for me to be like, shit, I was raised 100%. To deal with that and to swallow it and suck it up
it's
and
amazing.
Be okay with it. No, and like, I think
inspired.
The younger generation gets a lot of bullshit. And like, oh, they're so sensitive. No, they're not.
No.
They taught us that it's okay. And that it's not okay for a man to treat you that way.
Right. Yeah.
It's not okay that for that to be the culture at your work. You should never think about sex at work. You should never be thinking about what you're...
Oh, come on.
Well, you shouldn't be made to think
you're married,
about...
You're married, Cody.
You shouldn't you be shouldn't, made you to think about
you shouldn't
sex
be
at work.
You shouldn't you're, be pointing
hey,
out...
Hey, wait, married women like a, sex, Alita. Like, we
I know, when you
too.
Have someone to have it with, where are we going to...
But anyway, I appreciate the younger generation.
And all that stuff, it's like, it's always been terrible. It's just that now you've
We're calling
people
it out.
Feel empowered to say something
no,
about it.
And thank you to the younger generation for calling it out and allowing us to call it out too. I really appreciate younger women for
and men.
Stepping forward. And
there,
men
there
too,
are a lot
yeah,
of young men right now
and saying,
that, like, again, when, during my campaign, most of your campaign people are kids. They're like in their 20s. And these boys working with me were phenomenal. I was like shocked at how, what's a different word besides woke? Because
Untouchy?
Not even like just untouchy. I mean, they would correct me. Like, I know
evolved.
When I was growing up, we had wild
good,
mouths.
Solid people?
We were just saying everything. Saying all ableist stuff, sexual stuff, just like racial, like just rude,
like any good
sarcastic.
Does.
Any good, no, 90s kid does. Like, okay. We were just 90s
I appreciate
kids,
being
nasty
told
mouths,
that's not
right?
Okay.
And they
I really
were correcting
do.
Me constantly, like, Elena, you can't say that.
Yeah.
And then they were like, that happened to you? Like, I would just randomly tell them about some experience at, like, a high school party and be like, it was awful.
I think
fuck, like it was.
I think that if we're talking such positive about the younger generation, then we have to also talk badly about the older generation.
Yes, we are a mess.
Yeah.
Hot mess.
Are there any boomers in the audience? Fuck you. Retire. Get
like,
out of here.
I read a an
just
article
kidding, I
headline.
Love boomers.
I read an article headline that yeah, like
that's great to finish the whole headline. That's awesome. That
for
you
me.
That. Yeah.
I wait, got to the end
what,
of it.
Was
I
it
think.
In The Economist?
No. And when I say headline, I mean bus ad. But I saw that John Cleese is doing a documentary on cancel culture. And I think that is one of the it's like, how out of touch and old. And like anytime Bill Maher comes on,
Bill Maher's entire show
is
cancel,
like
culture.
Cancel culture.
That's all he
like,
talks about.
All these guys like Matt Damon, Bill Maher, these idiot old people.
Wait,
like
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon is 75.
Matt Damon
sucks.
Idiot old.
Hey guys, hate to break it to you, Matt Damon sucks. Did you guys not know? Matt Damon sucks.
Pally, like you apples? Might get cast in a movie with him, and he's going to listen.
Not after tonight.
He listens to this.
No, Google Matt Damon. Look for the last headline. I guarantee you'll be like, oh, that dude sucks.
Well, it came out recently that his daughter told him to stop saying F-A-G at the dinner table, and he was like, he wrote some post about like, oh, I'm really glad my daughter corrected me. I don't say it anymore. And then everybody's like, you were still saying
at
that?
At the dinner
for
table?
For cigarettes?
But then,
maybe
that,
he's English.
That word doesn't even translate to an adjective to be used at the dinner table.
No, but then, his children.
But then he came back to like clarify where he was like, It said that it wasn't really like what it seemed or something like that.
Yeah.
Like
what is
right.
the context that
Matt
that would
Damon
come up
sucks.
With your
this is also
children.
The same guy who had that horrible rant against anti what was his he had a huge rant on Project Greenlight against affirmative action.
Yeah. Greenlight.
Anytime.
I don't know anything about Matt Damon.
And you're right. You know why? Because his publicist is fucking good and he sucks. Matt Damon sucks. All these guys, John Krasinski fucking sucks. They're Republican. They all suck. And yes!
I really want to make a Boston joke right now.
What do you mean John Krasinski doesn't...
Is he the guy from The Office?
Motherfucker.
The Office is canceled. Sorry.
Made a movie. He made a movie where if the woman speaks, she die.
Technically, he made two of those movies.
And then he made another one. And then everyone was like, I love this movie. Why do I love it so much? Is it because the men need guns and the women have to shut up? He was also the star of the Benghazi movie. All these guys suck. They're all involved in this horrible, like, older white dude thing.
But are they vaccinated?
You know what? I
don't
know.
Asking for a friend?
I take odds. Who wants odds that Ben Affleck is, like, not fully vaccinated?
You think J-Lo
is
vaccinated?
He's on a boat with Dunkin'
Donuts. I don't think J-Lo would be
vaccinated. Who do you think was buying those fake cards? Who's got money for fake ID cards? Ben Affleck. I'm telling you, that Boston motherfucker, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, I'm not getting a wicked fucking, no way. I'm not getting a fucking wicked fucking vaccine. Are you kidding? Fucking no way.
And then
what? They'll know where I am?
Until he wants to get on a boat with J-Lo.
Yeah, and then, yeah, of course. It's just like, it's all that, as much as the younger generation is amazing for calling it out.
Is Ben Affleck and J-Lo in your notes? I'm not sure if it is.
The older,
it should be.
The older generation is also terrible for just like, It's just, it's awful. Okay.
All right. Boomer
the
suck.
End.
Okay, boomer.
So, just to get back to New York, I want to ask one more.
Away from Boston?
Get away from Boston, back to New York. One more New York question, which is I want to hear what the panel's opinion is about New York City, and if New York is going to really bounce back, is Zoom going to kill New York City? I read this thing this week that our commuter rail, Long Island Railroad and Metro North, are carrying about 325,000 fewer passengers in a typical weekday right now. Okay, so the commuters are not back, and the Delta variant is making everybody delay their return to office. So will Zoom kill New York City? I also read something today. There was an article about how tons of people in their 20s are moving here right now and taking advantage of lower rents, which have, they better get here quickly.
Where?
I just
want
to say,
they
we
existed
got
about a year ago,
two but. New New Yorkers on this panel in the last year and a half.
Well, they moved back, people that have moved back.
Well, but yeah. Still, yeah, but yeah. Shauna and Jonathan yeah. moved
I was
back.
Say, who?
Like, you moved back. You were LA. You were DC. I mean,
I'm not
like
against
Baltimore,
people
DC.
Leaving.
I mean, I wasn't born here.
I'm
don't
not.
Worry.
I'm not against
I'm
it.
Curious if the panel is bullish on New York. I mean, what's going to happen in Midtown? Are people going to go back to the office? Are Just Salads going to have a line out the door? Or
it's all going to come back because all those
again,
people...
just to reiterate, we're white, and Charlie's asking about the line at Just Salad. It's obvious. Are...
That was his big thing. He's like, can I get my salad quicker still when New York comes back?
That's no, totally how Charlie thinks.
Hey, I paid $10 for that special bowl, so I want to make sure.
There's actually a new
Jonathan restaurant. Jonathan had a point to
that. No, I was just thinking about like the type of people who move to... this is going to be... What's the thing that you said? This is going to be an unpopular thing to say or whatever.
This is unpopular.
Yeah, this is unpopular. ... Ellipses. That, like, I feel like in order to have... fuck that. Right? This makes no sense. I feel like to justify your life on Long Island, you need to have that New York City balance. Because otherwise, why didn't you move fucking not there? Like, why don't you?
So like, if you're going to be in the your beach house somewhere else,
yeah, like go somewhere else, I guess. Like,
if you're going to be in the suburbs, what are you doing in Long Island? You could go anywhere else.
Yeah,
Wisconsin.
Yeah, and then
have
also
more
like
more land,
have a cheaper house,
and a
I feel
cow.
Like, totally, and I feel like those cats like also love like they come into the city to do city stuff, and like they love that like attachment to it and the Yankees.
I don't know. Has anyone been in Times Square lately?
Yes.
Does it feel like there's not a lot of people here?
No, that's crazy.
Who
I think I was there yesterday. It was
a freaking million of people.
CBS Mornings is moving to Times Square.
We are
September 7th.
Congrats. That's awesome.
Just want to say shout out to Times Square, the old
new name,
TRL
new music.
Studio. New name, new music.
The show's on at 7 a.m. Eastern Time on CBS. Here it's called WCBS.
I mean, I kind of think that maybe we should take this opportunity to fill some of these vacancies with all the homeless people that are living on the street. I don't know. What do you think?
Which they started in California. They were doing that. Like, there's apparently a bunch of houses that are just like unused, and then that have like
here too.
I heard Harvey Weinstein's mansion is open in L.A. How about Epstein?
I think the city.
Weinstein's probably got like three townhouses. Let's fill them up.
I think one of the keys to the city will be oddly like art. Will because even before
like underground comedy shows on the Lower East Side.
Yeah, like
thank you.
Or Broadway.
Yeah, like diverse podcast tapings. Like I feel like that will lead almost even before business because business now has found a way to kind of like Zoom, but entertainment and art really hasn't.
Broadway,
like, and Broadway's gonna be huge. Like once that opens, but even past Broadway, like New York is still the place where like you go to form a band and you perform, and like when that comes back, that the city will be open later, and once the city's open later, younger people will come here. It's like that. I think that will drive. Before the offices matter. I think the offices mattering is like, that is a relic of the urban versus suburban kind of like American map.
No, because people can still make money at home on Zoom, and people can still show up and be in the street, and they clearly are.
Yeah, both can exist.
I think the city needs the real estate taxes from all the giant buildings in Midtown, but maybe
fill
we can
them
maybe,
with the homeless
maybe we
people.
Can turn them into housing.
Well, that's I think I shot a thing the other day at this enormous, it was a hedge fund, and it had like three floors of a building in Times Square with a gym and everything, and it was just evacuated. It was gorgeous. I mean, like, no one had been there since the pandemic. And yeah, let's turn those into houses for our unhoused.
Just affordable.
But at the same time, we need to make the city needs to really rally behind its artists and its restaurants. Yeah. And like it didn't do that. It hasn't done that yet. But I think I hope it will.
A little bit. There's been a lot of funding.
I mean, yes, totally. We're keeping them afloat, but like right away. There needs to be more of the New York Comedy Festival at the little island outside. Like more, until that stuff comes back, you're not going to have people wanting to come here because they could see this stuff anywhere.
Also, I don't know if this is
petty, but go ahead.
No, sorry. I was just going to say real quick, like for people who came back to New York, I didn't realize the creative energy that's just kind of always percolating here that I did not feel in Los Angeles. And literally the moment we like hit the pavement coming back here last August, I wanted to like do stuff. Like right away I was just like, oh, I need to do something. I need to like have a, like do something with like a creative outlet of some kind, which you don't feel when you're like in your house not doing anything because nobody does anything in Los Angeles. Like,
shout out to New York City, the greatest city in the world.
Yeah.
My adopted home. Although I've been in New York City longer than anywhere. I've been here for 16 years. Charlie's been here for 20, almost 21. His anniversary is right before 9/11. Oh, no, 20. 20, yeah, sorry.
I moved here July 2001, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. Great time. Great time to move, guys. Get in that time machine. Go back. Cancel that cruise ship ticket in 2020. And also move to New York and... 2001 in the summer.
I think the story that I read today gave me a lot of hope, and it's related to what you were saying, Adam, of just the fact that a lot of young people are moving here, and yeah, rents are still out of control. I think there was a brief period where you could get some deals on rents, but the more young people that we have moving here are going to start the next counterculture and the next band and all that.
Please invite the old people on this panel onto your countercultural fun stuff.
To what you were saying, Charlie, I mean, you know, like we met 20 years ago in the shadow of 9/11, right? Like when we started performing comedy, the city was tenuous. People were nervous. There was this energy to it where it was like, are these buildings going to fall down? Like, you know, and so out of that came this really rebellious, like the Strokes and, you know what I mean? Like all culture in New York City was just like rebellious and like punch you in the face. And I think that will happen here. It's just a slower burn because it's not safe yet. So
it's
like,
also not as visceral.
It's safe. You're all safe.
Oh, yeah. You guys are fine.
It's not that one big thing that makes you think. It's not a catalyst.
No, I mean, exactly. but we don't know what'll happen next. I mean, look what's happening in Afghanistan. These people suicide bomb. This shit could happen any day.
Dude,
no
this
offense.
Afghanistan
but, like, what
yeah.
the hell?
We totally.
Live on a giant target.
Totally.
And we're just walking around like it's okay.
Which is why, until the art, and I don't mean this in any way, like until there is that lid off of the Pringle can moment where you hear that pop, you know what I mean? Where it's like, because we had that.
Once you pop, you can't
we stop. We had that. Remember in July?
Brought to you by Pringles.
Remember in July when everyone was vaccinated and they were like, we're setting fireworks off in the, you know, it's like, it was like kind of like, until that moment is official and art can, you can have people going out to dinner till 2 a.m. in the back of a room thinking of an idea. Like that is the stuff that is culturally where New York City came, like what it does. And until that can start to happen again, like with consistency.
Yeah, because all those like trading fucks, they don't need to come back here.
No,
well,
they
come back.
Just,
okay.
Yeah,
well,
they can stay wherever they are.
A little contrary there.
We need their money, Jonathan.
I do think
they can come in for drinks.
They can come in for drinks, and you want those, like, okay, yes, those high rises. Maybe we could use them to house the unhoused, and that would be helpful in the city. But someone still has to pay the rent on those high rises, right?
The federal government.
Well, we have more money.
That's a much longer discussion.
I mean, what about the tax? I mean, but on that level, it's like we have all these billionaires.
We don't have time to talk about the federal government
billionaires
paying
who
for
don't
that.
Who haven't pay
net,
taxes?
Yeah,
it's like you know
net, they don't pay taxes.
Yeah. They don't. So, I agree.
I do think there is something about having the businesses here and having like Like that cart down the street that has like magazines and gum and all that other stuff, part of what is funding them are the people who used to come in and every day.
Yeah, I meant a little bit. Sorry.
Yeah, they may be like, you know, stock market assholes, but
they buy just salads.
There is a whole like there's a whole way this economy works, and there's a lot of businesses that went under during COVID that are not going to come back because they were barely like making rent. And so, one, we have to deal with, like, how expensive rents are and everything else. But I do think there is going to be business. There are going to be businesses that are going to make people come back to work to
100%.
A certain extent. Now, it might be in a hybrid deal. It may be, like, sometimes you're here, sometimes you're not. I work in TV. Most of my staff, since I took this job 6 months ago, I have not met in person because most of them work from home. But there are certain things we do in TV that are better done in person.
Yeah, of course.
And so there will be a rotation that happens. But you do, I think you need that art and you need that feeling. And that feeling is very real.
I think Atlanta.
But you need the money running.
As a former New York City waitress, we need those fucking guys to come back.
No, 100%.
We need everything. We need all of it.
Atlanta.
Thank you, guys. Clap for stockbrokers. Yay!
Atlanta is an interesting city to look at, where I spent like a lot of time over the last decade. And Atlanta is really interesting because their influx of money actually does come from art in a lot of ways. So what you're dealing with
TV and film industry,
as in production, TV and film, news, all different sides of it. Atlanta is an entertainment town.
CNN's making their people come back.
Right. And so what is going on in Atlanta is like what they never had a stock market, right? But they were like, well, we'll just trade those Patagonia assholes for the people that work.
Callie, they gotta go somewhere. Those Patagonia assholes have to go somewhere, and they're part of our New York City ecosystem.
Yeah, the ones that are vaccinated. And then what happened in Atlanta is you have this really nice thing where the government was giving 30 cents on the dollar to entertainment. And it told everybody, come to Atlanta, shoot your movie, do your play, whatever. And Atlanta became...
Also the state of Georgia giving tax breaks.
100%. And so that, to me, is like New York, I don't know why. I read an article the other day that New Jersey is going to get a 30% tax break. And I'm like, what? New Jersey?
For TV and film.
Yeah, for TV and film. Like, that, what is happening? We are New York City. Robert De Niro has like 5 studios. We need the
he
tax.
He owns all of Tribeca.
We
you
need
know
the
that?
Tax break.
All Robert that. De Niro owns you know, every building in Tribeca.
You've been shooting in New York. Isn't it the best? It's the best ever.
I said the first time I did like a, I was in LA and the first time I did a guest star here, and my trailer was like on Bleecker Street, and I called Alex Song, who a lot of you may know. And I was like, it's 10 o'clock. Are people going to sleep? Because I'm like used to Los Angeles bullshit. And she was like, no, come to like East, the UCB East was still a thing. And I was like, I saw a bunch of old people that I haven't seen in a long time.
Thanks for texting us, John.
You were in bed, Cody. Stop.
I had children, but I like to party.
But long story short, we walked 30 blocks to Empanada Mama, and we're there for like 3 in the morning. And I was like, doing a show here would be fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Like it would be, and also it's like especially something like Gossip Girl, where so like New York is a character on the show, and then feeling that and like on the stages and everything is just like this is the place. Like
yeah, like give us the tax break. Like let's do that. Let's see if we can't start it that way so that the restaurants get filled with grips and second seconds and.
I mean,
best
that's
boys.
About New York rethinking New York City. Like, that well, you yeah, do need to give the tax breaks here, that you're not so lucky to be in
We've
New
been
York.
Trying to get those tax breaks for years. I don't... It's bizarre. That we
and have. Then now New Jersey's going
right,
to get
it? It's bizarre.
I went to high school in New Jersey.
I think it's great that we've got
Why
a
would
new,
they get a tax
new show
break?
Coming back to Times Square. I think a new show going to Times Square is a great start.
Yeah, that's the best start.
Yeah.
But that's true, though, because there's a lot of show. There's a lot of shows that...
7 a.m. Eastern time.
There's a lot of shows that wouldn't get made here because it's too expensive. And so you had. Oh, yeah. That's why you started going to Toronto and
or
fucking
Georgia.
Yeah, or
as
Georgia
a New York
places.
City-based actress, thank you so much for shooting in my town. I'm available for all your guest stars.
All right, it's almost time to wrap up. I just want to ask some lightning round questions of the panel before we do. Does anybody on the panel own an NFT, and should I buy an NFT?
If you do buy one, buy the guy the like Chicano dude with the Ocean Spray and what's her face?
That'd be a good
oh,
one.
Did he turn his TikTok into an NFT?
Yeah, it turned into an NFT. So get that one because he deserves it.
I would like to say that Alita just said, "What's an NFT?" and whispered that in my ear. So I think
that's
my god.
Non-fungible token.
Yeah. And the description stops right there.
Shauna and Adam are being very quiet. They must own 50 billion NFTs.
I don't own an NFT, but I am nervous about NFTs.
FOMO? Like you wish you had gotten CryptoPunk or an
ape? No, the amount of money that I've lost by like just being in a bar and someone's like, "You want to invest in this?" And I'm like, "Yeah, buddy." And then like it's like fucking like PlayStation. But no, I'm nervous about NFTs because I don't think we're really clear on the environmental like
crypto in general.
People are like, yeah, no, it's taken care of. And I just, like, when I hear that, I'm like cigarettes it's taken care of? Like,
okay, okay. So, next question. The kid on the 1991 cover Nirvana's iconic Nevermind album is suing the band because he thinks his naked photo caused him permanent harm. Do you think
he's saying it's child pornography.
Yeah, it's child porn. Do you think he has a case?
No!
Sure?
It seems like they don't have
side
a release
question.
Form.
A lot of money there.
Do they have
raise
a release
your hand if that was your
no.
first album you
he
bought.
Out
me.
Probably my
one
second.
So, there was a similar case with Vampire Weekend.
Do they have somebody? Do they have a naked baby?
That was way
that
later. 1991.
That person won.
Earlier, though?
No, that person won. They found a stock photo. I don't remember the full story. But
of
like,
a naked baby with his
no,
penis
it was,
out in a pool?
No, it was a stock photo of a blonde woman from the 1980s. In a polo shirt, and it was like very much fit the aesthetic of Vampire Weekend in the early aughts. And so they couldn't, it was a found photo. So they were like, this is, you know, common use. And it became the artwork for their second album. And then subsequently were sued left and right.
So you agree unions should exist.
Well, but was
and,
that an
anyone
adult?
Is not a union, adult. Don't do non-union
that was
work.
A minor at the time.
Union strong.
Union strong.
Union strong. SAG after. Join that. After.
I mean,
don't get exploited.
You know, here's the deal. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know if like he has a suit or not. But my thing is, he also participated in multiple interviews about
he recreated
this.
He recreated it with
the anniversary.
Right.
And
yeah, but then he found out about Me Too.
To be fair,
and realized how
to be
he had
fair,
been exploited.
Nirvana should have just thrown him some fucking money.
Yeah. There was a
photo. They should have responded to his email and said, "Wow, cool, it's you, Joe, or whatever his name is," and said, "Here's $10,000." Like
$10,000.
Listen,
like,
they
fuck
made a
you,
lot
dude.
Of
my,
money. They
my
made
fucking
a lot
baby
of
dick
money.
Has been on Tower Records since 1992. $10,000?
$1 million.
I'm saying that I think he got paid like $200 and he was pissed about it. But I think he was mostly pissed because it wasn't, they weren't like every year being like, "Look at Spencer." You know what I mean?
Yes, he needed it. I mean, his dad
was
friends with the photographer. The photographer was like, "Hey, you want to, can I throw your boy
in the
pool? Can I throw your boy in the pool? Here's $200. And his dad said yes.
Can I also interrupt and just say, if someone said, "Can I throw your like
baby
in a pool?
And like, take a photo?"
Their dick would be the least of my worries. Like, number
their
one is, like,
are
they going to drown? Like,
no, they're not going to drown. They're going to look like they're swimming for $1.
Seriously, like, I don't care about his baby penis. Where can he breathe? Like, what is happening?
You know,
apparently he lived.
All right, next topic. Billionaire Charles Koch is now actively funding efforts to end federal marijuana prohibition. Surprise, huh? Bit of a twist. So if the Kochs are on board, you have to think that the federal ban on weed is not long for this world. But Biden remains opposed to marijuana legalization at the federal level. So are the Democrats going to fucking score a win on this?
This is the lightning round, Charlie?
Like, why?
Yeah, I would really like to go. Now we're talking about something that affects me deeply.
All right, we can talk. We have a little bit of time.
This is proof that the Democrats...
But why? So
aren't as cool as we all thought they were.
It's been driving me crazy that the Democrats can't just score a win. I mean, the like gay marriage wedge issue of 2004 with George Bush should have been our wedge issue in 2016, and Hillary should have been like smoking blunts at the debates. Like, is Biden going to evolve on this? Are we going to get federal legal marijuana soon?
Grandpa Joe needs to fix his glaucoma quick.
It's not gonna
get himself some gummies.
I mean, it's crazy how much money we're wasting, especially New York City.
Ridiculous.
We've legalized it, by the way. I mean,
the bureaucracy is insane.
Yeah, but like to grow it and procure,
but
sell
it,
and have a store and have a cafe.
Do you know how quick? Like
taxes
I
up the
wazoo.
I just
got back from Denver. I was shooting in Denver. It is better run than alcohol. It's really well like this. The fact that New York can't just be like, yeah, just
L.A., Las Vegas.
Build a factory for pre-rolls. Like, what?
Puerto Rico.
On one of my mom's groups, there was a mom that got real pissed because on the Upper West Side, somebody, like, they were opening a CBD store, and she was like, this is across from a school. And guys,
yeah, so you can go there after you drop off your kid, dummy.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's there.
So convenient. Much.
But she got fucking slammed, and I was like, "Yes, Upper West Side, thank you." Like a bunch of moms were like, "You need to get fucking high and get laid, girl. Like, get
liquor stores 100 feet."
Also, there are two. There are two fucking alcohol like liquor stores. Alcohol stores. What do you call them? I don't know. Right next to. Anyway, she got schooled, and it made me happy.
And then so she got high. Thing.
But I think New York. I mean,
coke weed.
The one good thing.
When giggle to yourself.
Always.
Coke brothers want weed legal.
We got something like Cuomo's Me Too situation this past year. He just sort of desperately started to distract us by finally getting things done that he should have gotten done 8 years ago. And legal weed is one of them. And we're gonna have stores next year.
No, we're not.
Upstate should be growing weed.
No, we're not. I don't think we're gonna. Why have
he's
stores.
An idiot.
I just don't think we're gonna have stores. I don't think New Jersey's gonna have stores. I think we have like three dispensaries.
I think because they'll want the tax money.
I hope so, but
people have learned a lesson from Colorado.
If that's the case, why don't we have it now? Like, it's
because
so
we just passed the law in April and it starts next year.
It literally happened like that.
I mean, this
because
goes
the
back
evil
to the
Koch brothers want to own it all.
Right, and that's why I think like until New York has an agreement with the business, like. There is a little bit, not to go back to my Italian guy character, but like there is a little bit of like, you know, I will make this kosher once the bars decide if you can smoke weed in the
bar.
But
bars. Like also don't you like, feel bad for like your weed dealer who probably isn't gonna get a permit?
I don't know what the next season of High Maintenance is gonna be.
My weed dealer
He's gonna have to go work
I
in
feel
a store.
Like honestly, my weed dealer is in a gray market, to be totally like
probably have like a really famous
what's his name and phone number.
What do you mean, not a black
and
market?
And her name and phone number. And are they their name and phone number?
I would say that most professional weed dealers in New York, because anyone that buys weed here is probably not just buying like a bag of weed, like they're like in Dazed and Confused. They're buying, I'm serious.
You're not buying Nick bags.
No one's buying a bag of weed. Everyone here is like a vape pen that looks like
hey,
it could also be a stylus.
I know a good man for that weed. You can get a COVID test and a bag of weed.
Coke weed.
Like, Johnson & Johnson vaccines and weed.
You know, weed is so like huge in that way that the modern New York dealer is running some sort. There is no more independent guy who rides around on a motorcycle.
So high maintenance is a lie.
Well, it's a relic.
You know, it's
a relic.
Not.
It's not a lie. It's a relic of what it was when we were in college. But now weed, like if you're buying weed in New York, you're getting it from someone who's getting it from someone who has flown an enormous shipment of edibles and vapes from wherever it's legal on a private
Colorado.
Jet.
And the state is getting no tax revenue.
And the state
but
is
maybe
getting
we
no
will next year.
California.
Well, that's what you say. You'd
or
like
LA.
To think so, but until there is an arrangement with the government where they don't cut the wig to whoever's got the white
Charlie, honestly,
on,
for someone who's been to a bunch of fish shows, you should know more about this, and I'm really
I don't because I'm a... That's
no,
where,
I'm talking about Charlie.
Oh, should Charlie should. More. I'm a Jew. I don't get let in those rooms.
I'm talking
but
about Charlie should know. He's a white dude who goes to fish and Grateful Dead shows. He
but
should
there,
be on the top
there
of this.
Is. I mean, like, just from, like, going into... Even I went into the CBD store on the Upper West Side, the one... Because there's like a
next to Trader Joe's.
No, it's yes, next to the Trader Joe's. Near 72nd Street.
How was it? And should I go?
It's not open yet, but they have a sister store that's a head shop that is connected. And I went in there and talked to the guys a little bit, and like, they don't expect to get a license in the next 2-3 years, because they think that
someone's going to. I mean, it might
be the head shop in my neighborhood told me he's got flower.
Yeah, but
he's
that's
selling weed.
Gray market, like
it
he's
shitty weed, but he's selling.
He's
weed.
He's getting it, yeah. But what I'm saying is like in LA, like. In a legal weed
yeah,
city,
not like walking into
it is paradise.
Whole Foods. Like
legal, like Los Angeles is paradise.
Right, right. It's like you walking walk in Whole Foods.
Yeah, you walk, you're like, hold on a second, I'm going to go buy weed.
Right, and it's fancy, and it's
yeah,
clean.
Yeah, 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 but we are open all night with pizza,
on.
So you know what?
We're
we
not open all night
too.
With pizza
we
anymore.
Shit too.
We have COVID.
All right, guys, we're going to have to end on thank you all so much for coming out to Two Beers In. We want to thank our incredible panel, Adam Pally, Shauna Thomas, Jonathan Fernandez, and Alita Lafargue. I want to thank Tyler Walker, who does our theme music, who I don't thank enough. Hopefully we'll be doing another show here at Caveat in the near future. We don't have a date yet, but we will update our Twitter. I'm at Charlie Todd, and you're at Cody Lindquist, I think.
Yes. You think? Sometimes. Whoa, Charlie.
I didn't know if you got it. I don't know.
Wow. Remember. Yes, I did. I think you got it for me. Jeez.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that ends on a good note. Thank you guys so much for coming out and for braving the Delta variant. We appreciate it. It's so great to be able to be in person with an audience after so long. Yeah. Don't forget, one last thing that we always say is please don't forget to vote in midterm elections. Good night, everybody. Cody and Charlie and a few of their friends.